Well, it's an important day as the process of the vaccine rollout continues in India. Remember, the 16th of this month is going to be an all-important day when the process of inoculation actually starts. Ahead of that, there is a huge process which is underway to ensure that the drugs actually reach various parts of the country where they can be administered to those. And that takes a great deal of doing. Several questions also have been asked over the last many days on the vaccines themselves. We have a wonderful guest with us, Professor Vijay Raghavan, Principal Scientific Advisor to the Government of India, co-chair of the COVID-19 R&D Task Force, somebody who knows the key issues over here better than most. Lovely speaking to you, sir. First up, sir, do frontline workers have the option of saying no to any of the vaccines?
The vaccination program, which is being rolled out right now, is, as you know, for frontline workers and healthcare workers. The vaccination program is, you know, there's no problem in anyone saying that they don't want a vaccine. That's, of course, there. But a very strong communication program is on and needs to amplify from every one of us the importance of vaccination, particularly frontline workers and healthcare workers interact with a large part of the community. Protecting them protect others also, and this is very important.
Professor Vijay Raghavan, is there a scenario where one person can get both vaccines?
Sorry, that means get...
So an initial dose of one vaccine and a subsequent dose of another one. Is that at all possible? Is that something which is a concern?
The way the program is structured is that you will be logged on when you get one dose and you will get the other dose of the same vaccine. That's the way it is. In some countries, for example, in the UK, there are places where you can get one dose of one and one dose of the other. That's structured too in that manner. There is no problem in principle of doing that, but that's not the way our program is structured.
Okay. How soon, sir, before effectiveness data for Covaxin is published?
The phase three trials are on, and we expect to see those results coming in very soon. And, you know, the numbers of people who are infected in and have signs of the disease, in other words, in both the placebo and the vaccine arm, once it reaches a certain threshold, that total, we don't know which arm is which, then the trial will be unblinded and examined. So we should expect that in a matter of weeks or a month-ish or so.
So a month or so, and on, you know, weeks or perhaps up to a month, and then to study that and then generate this data, how soon can that be generated? Because it is a confidence issue. I'm sure you understand that, and it's important in that sense. This drug will also be exported, for example. So when would we be able to go through that data and give a number?
You know, we must keep in mind that it is quite remarkable that you have a vaccine candidate going through phase one, two, and three trials here. And we must look at the way this timing of the unblinding and the results which have come out from other vaccines in the rest of the world, such as with the Pfizer, the Moderna, the AstraZeneca, and so on. So it will come in a few days after the unblinding when the Data Safety Monitoring Board and the rest of the people involved analyze that data.
And are you confident, sir, that the efficacy or the effectiveness data will match that of Covishield or perhaps even go beyond that?
There are similar vaccines the rest of the world, and therefore there's no reason to think that the efficacy will be a point of concern.
Sir, have both these vaccines been cleared for export? And if so, when? And the reason I ask that is because there is a huge demand, obviously, here in India as well. On the other hand, several countries have come to us and have said, please help us. So how is management of that going to work out?
You know, India is unusual in that we are a vaccine manufacturing country and do that at scale. It's, again, something which I'd like to reiterate. Many people have said that earlier, that, you know, two out of three vaccines which a child gets in a global immunization program are made in India. So India has been a major exporter of vaccines for a long time. And this is a major responsibility which we have done. And we have continued to shoulder that during the pandemic. And that's because our manufacturing capability will ramp up to be able to serve us as well as serve the rest of the world. So, you know, I would say the first quarter of this year, going from now to, you know, March or so, will be a time of ramping up of manufacturing as well as ramping up of our, you know, immunization here. And this will be a period where demand, where supply may not match sufficiently demand, but there will still be enough to take care of multiple kinds of demands modestly. In the second quarter, we're likely to see that go up, the manufacturing go up substantially, so we wouldn't have these issues being discussed.
Professor Vijayaraghavan, why does one drug at the moment cost more than the other?
You know, these are not absolutely, you know, fixed numbers in terms of, you know, what the quantifiable inputs and outputs are. But what the companies have very correctly done is to give estimates about what their cost price is and, you know, what is a reasonable sum below that cost price for India. So it's a modest difference. We must, you know, I don't think one should analyze that beyond a certain level about what those differences are and why one is more or less. It could have been the other way around. It depends on manufacturing routes, the kinds of process you use, the kinds of scale-up, you know, context, the types of vaccine platforms. There are many, many parameters. And each of them will add and subtract to the differences.
Will the government renegotiate prices after the first 100 million doses?
What will happen is that very soon, as I said, in the second quarter, you're going to see the stockpiles growing substantially. And they're, you know, day by day, that is growing. And again, that's something which is a matter which, you know, we are very fortunate to have such large-scale manufacturing and quality manufacturing. The second thing which will happen is these vaccines will go up in the approval process. Others will come in. There are multiple other vaccine manufacturers and vaccines at different stages over here. So all of this will change the supply substantially. And, you know, the demand, of course, is huge. And therefore, you know, we should wait to see what happens to see what the pricing is and so on for the larger population.
Will there be a
consent? I should stress, by the way, that, you know, one important role the government will play through the process, even as availability scales up, is to ensure that the pricing is fair. And, you know, and that's something which the companies also have agreed. And that's something which the government will make sure that access and equity are not compromised.
By equity, what do you mean? Would they be in the same ballpark? Because at the moment, one drug is more expensive than the other. Covaxin is more expensive than Covishield. However, Bharat Biotech has given several which are free of charge in this first. So once you take that average, it's more or less the same. But going forward, once they step up their manufacture, once the government stocks more Covaxin, you would have one drug which is cheaper and one drug which is more expensive. Or would that be regulated, is my question.
I think this is very hypothetical because we are extrapolating linearly from the current demand and requirement.
I see.
That's going to be changing very rapidly in a dynamic situation as manufacturing ramps up. So the pricing, if anything, will become more accessible as we go along. It'll be affordable. By equity, what I mean is that in our population, there are different, you know, sectors, some of whom can afford a price which is, you know, significant, and others who just cannot afford to pay for vaccines at all. So within this range, there will be access ensured so that, you know, no one who needs to be vaccinated is denied a vaccine. There are multiple processes and layers to ensure that.
Will there be a consent form to sign when a citizen is inoculated?
So that's something which the health ministry would have laid out in FAQs on their side. You know, when everyone is vaccinated, you know, it is, you enter into the digital portal, what you agree to do and what the conditions are. And this will also have components similarly for those who don't have digital access.
And sir, all of the questions I'm asking you are questions which people have actually been writing into us. So, you know, it's sort of formatted. But I think they're important. When can a citizen with comorbidities register for a dose? Any number of people have been wanting to know.
Of course, you know, Again, right now, we are looking at the healthcare workers and frontline workers. There will be, of course, amongst them, people also with comorbidities. And when we go into the larger priority groups, which are people over 50, there will be very large number of people who have various kinds of comorbidities. You will just have to state what your comorbidities are, and you will know whether you can get vaccinated. And indeed, for a very large range of comorbidities, which are sort of relatively more prevalent, there will be no issue at all in being vaccinated. If there are some where you should not get vaccinated or have it under greater supervision, you will be told.
So, sir, the way this would work is through COWIN, the app. And therefore, if there is, for example, an individual, once this goes out into, senior citizens are allowed to actually access it, or those with comorbidities are allowed to access it, they can just spell out that they have a comorbidity. How does the government know that that is the truth?
So there will be multiple layers of cross-checking.
I see.
First of all, there will be a layer in which people have, you know, smartphones or feature phones and have OTP mechanisms of checking. They will get a registration, ID, which can be, they can use their other forms of registration, ranging from your PAN card or your, you know, similar to an election, all the other identification. And therefore, you know, one knows who the person is and what they're declaring. I think the focus really is not so much about how people will try to violate these kinds of things, but how they can be enabled. That's number one. There are also a large number of people who will not have feature phones, and there will be families in which, you know, people want to use their relatives' phones, for example, for registering and so on and so forth, because they don't have a phone, others have. These are the kinds of mechanisms which have been addressed by the health ministry to ensure that anyone who is, you know, with these kinds of situations, not having access to the platform directly, also is verified and put in a manner which enables them. The approach is to enable those who need vaccination to get it, and not to, you know, look at it from a perspective of how people will, you know, violate the system. In
that,
some sense,
that's such an important point. That, you know, there's an element of trust between the government and people. So if
do
say that, look, I am unwell, I have comorbidities, a lot of people may not have their health records on them and yet may be acutely diabetic.
Absolutely.
So it's trust. The bottom line is trust.
And flexibility, so that those kinds of matters that need to be addressed can be established. This, by the way, is not unusual. I mean, not unusual, it is standard in any vaccination program. In our childhood vaccination program, it is standard. You don't go and, you know, just vaccinate someone, but it's a context. You find out, you know, about the child, what the situation is and everything, and then vaccinate. So this is something which, you know, our healthcare system is used to. It is now has to scale it up in a manner which is, you know, enormous.
That's really interesting, sir. How much will the entire inoculation drive eventually cost? And I mean, I know the center will pay for a part of it, obviously, but will states also be asked to chip in?
You know, we have a range of programs ranging from complete payment of the vaccination by the central government, as you're seeing in this case, partnerships later on with other governments, partnerships with CSR and philanthropy and so on later on, insurance programs of various kinds. And very, very importantly, the way the scale of this is such that we are not going to see this as a market of a competition of high pricing. I mean, everyone all over the world realizes the key importance primarily of getting vaccines to everyone. And therefore, you know, I am convinced that as more vaccines come in, as our own manufacturing ramps up, remember all these vaccines, like we're talking about, have a substantial base of manufacturing in India. I don't see pricing and access and equity as something which will be compromised.
All right, but you don't know right now if the states would be paying a part of it in the center, or is it going to come from everybody? You know, once this goes to a larger group.
So what will happen? You know, this program initially of frontline workers and healthcare workers, somewhere midstream or little late midstream, where about, you know, 75% of this job has to be done, would be a good time to look at every aspect, from how the program is going, what needs to be bettered, what can we learn from this, what about, you know, scaling up and the pricing and so on. And I think that will be, you know, done. Remember that this 3 crores, 30 million people, is something like, you know, the entire population of many countries put together. So this is not a small thing, you know, and therefore it's other countries who will be seeing how we do the scaling and how effective we are. We should learn from multiple other environments, but ours is a conglomerate of such complexity that, you know, we have to do things in ways which we are innovative about.
Also. All right. Okay, so it's a work in progress. I think I can report that. A work in progress in terms of getting a grip on the final costs and who's going to pay. When will the drugs be commercially available? Because, for example, Serum has indicated that they can step up production massively. Bharat Biotech can probably do the same, because that's a great skill we have in this country, stepping up production. Therefore, if somebody, for example, corporates, were to go and say, we don't want to burden government doctors, as it is they're overburdened with this massive drive, we will pay at commercial rates, we will use our own doctors and inoculate our entire office, bringing down the burden on the system. What's wrong with that? And when can that happen?
No, not only nothing wrong, it's perfectly all right. As Dr. Vinod Paul has mentioned, that the 30 crore priority groups, which is, by the way, 300 million, again, which is enormous, that itself is a programmatic drive of the government. But remember that he said will take 7 to 8 months. Right. And this is just, we're just starting. But remember, during that process, we are likely to move from emergency use authorization to full authorization also. And more vaccines are going to come in multiple strata. Therefore, you're going to see, as we go into full market licensure, the availability in the market also of scale, not only of these, and eventually of other vaccines which are manufactured. So this is going to be something which escalates very speedily as we move on. But I would also add that, you know, let's not jump into that situation, discuss that so much now. Right now, our focus should be on 2 points. One, making sure that these vaccination programs for frontline workers and healthcare workers gets done properly. And the second is tracking by viral genome sequencing and testing those sequence isolates in laboratories for new variants which are coming in. This is an important research program to applications. It's very directly linked. And these are very important for us to do on scale, because we shouldn't be complacent that the introduction of the vaccine program, the introduction is sufficient to quell this. To quell this, we must be continue to test and track and trace at this level, keeping in mind the important concerns which have been raised by the UK and South Africa variants. So we shouldn't let our guard down at all.
Is there an assumption that we are, and the world is working on, that the existing vaccines can fight off this mutant strain successfully? Or do you believe the vaccines need to be taken?
I've been hearing this question, and it's not an incorrect question, but the more important question is, are these new variant strains, which have multiple mutations in them, are they going to increase their transmission so much that they fan out and affect a much larger proportion of the population than is happening now? If that is the case, then there's an enormous burden on the healthcare system. That's the principal worry. Is what is happening in UK and Ireland, and now starting to happen in the US, is that, you know, something of substantial concern? Is it something to be observed and kept in mind? Unless we do, you know, an analysis simultaneously in our areas, we don't know the answer to that yet.
Okay. All right, sir. So lots of key questions. One final one. Do you know if the first person to get the inoculated, who that person will be?
I don't know.
Do you know and you're not telling me, or do you not know genuinely, sir?
I genuinely don't know, and I wouldn't tell you that I know and I don't know, and I really don't know. The very simple point to keep in mind is that the rollout is for healthcare workers and frontline workers. And it will be, you know, those people who will get it first. So I think that's something in a general sense is what I'm aware of, not specifically who the person is.
Would the person be in Delhi, sir? Any idea? All right. I'm sorry. I had to ask. It was worth a shot.
The vaccine being rolled out to multiple places all over the country. It's all ready to go. And, you know, it's a matter of, you know, few seconds this way or that way. It will happen in multiple places on the go on the 16th.
Well, that's fantastic news, sir. Let's just hope it works the way that we want it to. Let's just hope that as many people as possible get these vaccines. And of course, as we keep repeating on our programs, social distancing isn't going away, not in a hurry, and we need to be smart about it even after getting our doses. Thank you very much, sir. Pleasure speaking to you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.